Amen. And thank you all for being here tonight. I'll say one thing about David Sparks. He is a stand-up preacher and singer and servant of God. And I don't know, he's great when we stand. You know, the Bible says, and I've never tried this, but in the Old Testament, the Bible said that they stood for hours at the water gate when the Word of God was being declared. And, you know, it's so hard for us to even stand up for a song or a prayer. You know, sometimes I see song leaders say, well, let's please stand and go, oh, no, not again, you know. Just think about it. What if God asked you to stand? I'm going to tell you something. He's not going to ask you to sit while you're being judged. You're going to be standing before God, the Bible says. Truth hackers. Do you know any? In the book of Jude, chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible refers to some who are ordained unto condemnation. Read it with me. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And he explains why. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the word ordained is a word that we use a lot in the, I guess you could say, the vocabulary of the religious. You know, people, preachers talk about being ordained and by the state of Texas to be an authentic minister. I guess you could use that word. By the state, in other words, who has the right to perform weddings is one who is to be duly ordained, I think the law says, or commissioned by his church. And the word ordained actually means, in the past tense, it is a verb, or the word ordained or ordained means to decree something officially. And in the text in which this is given by Jude in that little only chapter of the book that bears his name, he uses that word, and it just simply means that it was determined that that was exactly what they were going to do. And so when you read that passage, sometimes people read into it and say, well, that means that we are predestined. Not so at all. But it does mean that they were ordained in the sense that they were the ones who were going to do what they were doing. And they were creeping in and they were hacking the truth. How many of you have ever had your emails hacked? I've had that happen. Have you ever had people send out an email with your name and an email you didn't send? You may not know it, but I've gotten emails from several of you in the congregation that I know you didn't send about you going to the boats over in Louisiana and about getting drunk last Saturday night and all those kinds of things. I just perceive that that didn't really happen. It didn't really come from you. But people hack emails all the time. And whether you know it or not, you may have been hacked. And so this particular passage is saying, be watchful. You know, we have a lot of hijacking out on the highway. Have you ever noticed that? We watch for those we call hackers or those who are frauds and they have spyware where they can perhaps take your computer and get all your information off and use it for unholy and ungodly purpose. We generally refer to it as the dark web. They reach in and they get your information. They rob your bank account. One man said, they said that they were from Dell, that is computer, and my computer was being hacked. They asked for a check for nearly $4,000, and I mailed it, hoping I was doing the right thing. Do you realize that there are some very innocent people in the world who fall prey to the hackers, if you will? Identity theft is a terrible, terrible thing in today's world. And believe it or not, there would be those who would delight in stealing your identity. But did you know that even in the days of Jesus Christ, there were those who actually stole his identity? Let me tell you how that played out, actually, in the Bible. In the book of Matthew 24, Jesus had prophesied about it, beginning in verse 23 and following. He says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there are also false Christs, hackers, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect of God." That is, those of us who are Christians, who are faithful children of God. And so what Christ is saying is, beware. They will, if they stole the identity of Jesus, don't you know that they would attempt to steal your identity as well? That's why John said in 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." Jesus was authentic in every way, but the hackers were working, trying to steal his identity. When you are traveling, keep your guard up. Just some admonitions here tonight to be very, very careful about it. I'm going to be riding with Randy Foreman tomorrow to Dallas, and I'm going to keep my guard up. Now, good to see Randy tonight. Glad he's here, preacher of the gospel. And Give Me the Bible does an excellent job. I hear that all the time. Sincerely, I mean it. You ever heard of credit card skimmers? That is, when you go and buy petroleum or gasoline, they have changed out the little thing that takes your credit card, and they can get all of your information right there, all that they want. They can bill your credit card, and if there is a message from God, it is not necessarily about credit cards, but it is beware of scams. Beware of scams concerning the Internal Revenue Service. You ever got a call from the Internal Revenue Service saying you owed money? Beware if you do. The Internal Revenue Service does not contact you by phone. They contact you by snail mail, what we call. That is the postal service. They don't even send you an email. I heard about a guy one time that called up the Internal Revenue Service and told him, he said, "Look," he said, "I know you don't know my identity. You don't know who I am," but he says, I'm just going to send you a money order. I'm just so guilty over the fact that I have not been paying my taxes." And the guy said, "Well, that's great." Well, anyway, the man went down, took out a money order, sent a little note along with it, said, "Dear sirs," he says, "I apologize that I have not been paying my taxes. As a matter of fact, I cannot sleep at night because I have cheated you out of so much money." And then there was a little P.S. at the bottom that said, "If I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest." But the Internal Revenue Service is not a scam. But some people call you pretending that they are. The last word of God. You know, there's some that say, "I'll gladly let my guard down when people stop giving me reasons to keep it up." Well, if I haven't given you reasons already, you haven't been listening. But there are some things that you and I must do with regard to hackers, that is, truth hackers. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," or make you free. We have to be, first of all, people who extend the unaltered faith that we have in God. I told you this morning at Bible class, everywhere I go, I extend my faith to people. I tell them about my love for God. Hey, we may not talk about anything else under the sun, but we talk about God. And when I start talking about God, sometimes people will stand there and listen. Others walk away. They're not interested in God. But I am going to extend my faith, the unaltered faith, to the people I come in contact with. And I warn them, don't get scammed by all these religious prognosticators that are telling you things that are erroneous and telling you God's going to do something that God never said he would do, or that Christ is going to do something like coming back to this earth that Christ never ever said he would do. If you're interested in the end time, you need to join us on Sunday mornings in our Bible class. We've been talking about the end time, what really is going to happen in the end. Don't get scammed. But that passage in the book of Jude 3 says that we are to contend earnestly for the faith. Verse 3 says that. The word Jude actually means praise. He was the half-brother of Jesus, our Savior. And that's why that book is such an important book. When you read the Bible, sometimes you just think, well, I don't know who those writers are. Well, when you read the book of Jude, you will remember that he was the half-brother of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it is the salvation that we have through Christ that should unite all of us. And we must be passionate about our salvation. And we must be passionate enough to extend it to other people, our family members, our friends, our neighbors, to be diligent. The Greek word actually means to speed, to make haste, to do it quickly. For salvation was the passion of Jude's heart. You know, you don't read a whole lot about Jude in the Bible, but this little book has some powerful statements that we need to remember. One of them is he says that we have to make a difference in the lives of other people. Faith is not believing that God can. It is knowing that he will. And that was one of the things that Jude was trying to extend to the church. That letter was written, by the way, to the church, not to outsiders. And that's why it's so important for us. He has written it unto us. And he refers to his brother, Jesus the Christ, not only as his half-brother, but as his Savior and as his Lord. You know, faith is so essential to our walk with God, isn't it? The Bible says of Enoch that he walked with God. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." The importance of being diligent is seen throughout the Holy Scriptures. We've got some people in the church sometimes that are not very diligent. They're not very diligent about coming to worship. They're not very diligent about giving unto God. They're not very diligent about extending the hand of God to those that are lost. If you are diligent, others can count on you to work hard at whatever you do. And doesn't the scripture say that whatever you do, do it with all of your might? Whatever your hand finds to do, for God rewards those who are diligent and those who seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But it does say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. It's not seeking him, but you're seeking after. That is, you're wanting to do what God has told you to do. You're wanting to obey the commandments of God. You're seeking after the things that God sought after. I like the book of Proverbs. In the 12th chapter and verse 24, there is a profound statement here that says, "The hand of the diligent shall rule." Think about the lesson this morning that I taught you. In Proverbs 13 and verse 4, "The soul of the diligent shall be made," pardon me, "rich." Diligence is man's precious possession, Proverbs 12 and verse 27. And that's the common salvation, as I said a moment ago, that should unite us. But we have to start, if we want to get rid of the hackers, we have to start extending the faith that we have in the real Jesus, the real Christ. You know, there's a little television program that's on television now. It's called To Tell the Truth. Have you noticed it? And will the real Jesus please stand up? He has stood up. And he tells us exactly who we are and how we are to live. Our past has been forgiven. Our present is given meaning. And our future is secured in Christ Jesus our Lord. For we as the church of the living God are the called out assembly. There's a little word that's used in the Bibles for the word church, and it really doesn't mean a lot to you, but it's the word ekklesia. It's the Greek word. It means the called out. And when you look at the church, it is the called out of God. Those who've experienced the salvation in Christ that Paul mentions in the book of Ephesians 4 when he says that there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one hope, one spirit, one body, one baptism, and one Father who is above all, in all, and through you all. You know, some of the hackers in today's world will take passages and misconstrue what it really says. One of the most profound passages in all the Bible that is often misaligned, it is often skewed, is this passage in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Now, if you were just to read that one verse, you'd think, well, no condemnation to those who are in Christ because I've been in Christ, I'm a Christian, and therefore there's no condemnation to me. I can go out and live like hell if I want to, and God's still going to save me when it's all over. Not so. That's not what God said, and it's certainly not what Paul is teaching. But Paul teaches the rest of it. Paul says there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ, now listen to it, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no way you can say, listen to this, that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We got into Christ and we were baptized into Him, by the way. But even baptized believers can be condemned if they don't walk after the Spirit and not walk after the flesh. When it comes to hackers that are out there in the world, not only are we to extend the faith that we have in God, but we are to contend for the faith. That's a very interesting word, the word contend. It's used by Jude here, and Paul uses the word actually when he wrote to the Ephesian church in the 6th chapter and verse 12. He uses the word wrestle, however, but is closely akin in the Greek language to the same word that we use for contend. It means to agonize about. It means to wrestle. Probably that is more of a definitive term when it describes the word contend. For Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, he says, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We agonize. And you know what we do? We do what Paul told Timothy to do, is to fight the good fight of faith. In other words, you wrestle with someone over your faith. Because the hackers will try to get you to believe something that's just not true. And they will try to steal your faith. And the Bible again says that we have to contend earnestly. Contend earnestly. But number three, we must be those who defend the faith and take note of those who hack the faith. What does it mean to defend it? Stand up for it. When people tell you, well, you're all just a bunch of people think you're the only ones going to heaven, you stand up for the faith. When people say, well, you know, you don't have to go to church to show you love God, contend for the faith, folks. You don't have to give to God, contend for the faith. You don't have to tell your neighbor about Jesus, the hackers say. And God says, defend the faith. Defend it. Paul said one time, I am set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ my Lord. Why do you think Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 says that we are to adorn the spiritual attire that we call the gird of salvation, the helmet of salvation, the shoes that we are to put on, he says, and carry with us the shield of faith? Because there are people out there ready to launch their attack against you and try to steal your spiritual identity. Let me tell you how they do that. They say, oh yeah, I know Joe Blow, but he's not a Christian. And he says things and he tries to distort you and your faith in God. Don't just declare your faith. Don't just extend your faith and contend for it, but defend it. And that's where that word agonize comes in. It's right for us to fight. Some people say Christians shouldn't fight. Not true. If we're fighting for the right thing, we should be fighting, should we not? Why do you think we wear all of that spiritual armor? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he said, our weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is the only offensive part of that equipment. Did you know the rest of it's defensive? Everything is. Only one offensive weapon, that is the Word of Almighty God. You know, alligators slip in and out of water. And when Jude talks about those coming in, they cause ripples. Many slip into the church and start teaching things that are not right. And when they start teaching things that are not right, you better make sure you have elders in the church that are ready to stand up and defend the gospel and make sure that error is not being perpetrated among the sheep of our Father. Because there's a lot of false doctrine out there that's being taught in the name of Jesus. They have taken his name and they have sent out figurative emails to the body of Jesus. And that's why Paul says, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Philippians 1 and verse 17. And to put on all of that armor. You may think right now, I don't need that armor. I'm not facing any real issues in my life. The time will come when you will. Many liberals put God's grace in a showcase and his judgment in a suitcase. That's another one for the sign, Dwight. I don't know if it'll fit, but it's true. It is true. People always talk about all the grace of God, and that's a wonderful thing. They want to put it in that showcase. But we want to put his judgment and everything God said about the judgment in a suitcase. We don't want anybody seeing. But you know, God speaks about both of it, doesn't it? In the book of Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. Grace cannot be discounted. I understand that. It will never be dirt cheap. You know, you may go into a store and buy a tie or a coat or a pair of shoes or a dress or whatever that's been dramatically reduced. But you will not find the grace of God at the bargain counter. Just won't happen. The name of Jesus, Philippians 2 and verse 9, is the name which is greater than every name. That's what Paul says. God hath given him a name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and even things under the earth. That passage tells me that even the demonic spirits of the world will one day bow the knee to Jesus Christ and confess him as the Son of God. But the hackers are those spiritually who defy the deity of Christ. They say that they have made Christ Lord, but they've not made Jesus Lord. The word Lord comes in the Greek language also. The word is kurios, and it actually means the one who rules over another. And Christ has rule over our life. Someone who has absolute power and authority over someone else. And nobody has more power over your life, more authority over your life, than Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." But they denied Jesus Christ. And it's wrong not to fight and wage war. And people do not uphold that which is right. Sometimes we have to all pause long enough for us to ask ourselves. Sometimes we get into the routine of things. Sometimes we have to back up and ask ourselves the question, am I really saved? Am I contending for the faith? What am I really doing? If Jude says that we contend for it, how much contending have you done this last week for the faith? Do you stand up for it? Do you defend it? Do you extend it? We all do dumb things, but going to hell does not have to be one of them. And I'm telling you, if you lose your soul in a devil's hell, it is a dumb thing. It's worse than being dumb. Isn't it time that we get things right with God, folks? We say that all the time, but it's so true. If you're not a baptized believer, it's a dumb thing to continue in what you're doing. If you have been misled into believing by the spiritual hackers that you don't have to be baptized in order to experience salvation, you better go back to the genuine book and find out. Don't listen to the hackers. If you're watching this by the internet, and many of you are, I know you are, you've told me, you've called us, you've told me that. And if you are watching this by the internet tonight, you better wake up. You better wake up to the hackers who are stealing truth all over our nation. And time is of the essence, because eventually time will run out. It will be no more. And the question I ask you tonight in closing is this one: are you ready to meet God? If you're not ready to meet God, that means you're not right with God. I hope tonight that you are. But I think it's something we all have to seriously think about and to give serious consideration to. We just live our lives so haphazardly. We get up and we go off to work in the morning, and we come back in and we go to bed at night. We never even think about what it means to contend and defend and extend the faith. I hope you will tomorrow. Let us stand and let us sing.